Next on The Balanced Word, representing Christ well.
If anyone knows that you go to church, think about it. What they think of church will sometimes almost exclusively be determined by their impression of you. If there's someone who never smiles and can't take a joke, and they're a Christian, oh man, that makes a great story. And that'll be told to others who will tell it to others who will tell it to others. Yeah, this person is trying to tell me about the joy of the Lord, but they're the most miserable person around. People love those kinds of stories, and they'll twist it and exploit it in 100 different ways. Sometimes you can't avoid some of that, but Paul's heart was, I want to make sure that I don't give anyone reason to stumble.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We've heard it said countless times from our unbelieving friends, the church is full of hypocrites. That's often the line people give when explaining why they don't want to have anything to do with being a Christian. Well, sadly, many Christians don't represent Christ well, and that adds fuel to the fire. So today on The Balanced Word, we'll be encouraged to live by God's grace, serve God, and represent Him in a good way. In doing so, we'll please the Lord and be a good witness of His love and grace. This is part of our continuing series in 2 Corinthians. We meet up with Pastor Dave Roth now in chapter 6.
I would rather eat a bad product, and I would rather tip well to a waitress or a waiter who gives me terrible service than to give somebody a story that sounds really well as to their excuse why they don't believe in Jesus because a guy who represents Jesus treated them poorly. Now, you can't always make that absolute, because sometimes, no matter how far you bend over backwards, there are some people who are going to end up being mad at you anyway. But the point is, Paul's effort was, I'm always thinking, I represent Jesus Christ, and I represent His ministry and His message, and I want to bend over backwards to make sure that nothing that I do makes that look bad. I'll take a lot of abuse rather than run the risk of making Jesus look bad or making our church look bad or making Christians look bad. And so that was Paul's basic principle for ministry, and it's a good one. And if you have ever told anyone that you're a Christian, and if anyone knows that you go to church, think about it. What they think of church will sometimes almost exclusively be determined by their impression of you. If there's someone who never smiles and can't take a joke, and they're a Christian, oh man, that makes a great story. And that'll be told to others who will tell it to others who will tell it to others. Yeah, this person is trying to tell me about the joy of the Lord, but they're the most miserable person around. We live next door to him. I hear him yelling at his family all the time. One time I saw him coming out of a bar. People love those kinds of stories, and they'll twist it and exploit it in 100 different ways. Sometimes you can't avoid some of that, but Paul's heart was, I want to make sure that I don't give anyone reason to stumble. Pastor Romaine used to tell me, when people are shooting at you, they're usually doing it with bullets that you gave them. And I've been shot with bullets that I gave people plenty of times, and I just had to eat it. And so for all of us, we should recognize we represent Jesus Christ. Now, representing Jesus Christ and His grace does not mean that we are perfect. I don't have a problem with people seeing me blow it necessarily, but it's how I handle it when I blow it. My message of the gospel is not that I'm perfect because of what Jesus did, My message is, I am a sinner just like you are, but I have received grace. So the real issue is not whether you're perfect. The real issue is whether you will show grace to the same extent that you've claimed to have received it. So people who have received God's grace and then they're very ungracious to others send a really confusing and mixed message. Man, if you blow it, if you blow your stack with somebody in public or someone you work with or whatever, then be the first one to take it back. That's better sometimes than if you were just trying really hard to be perfect, because they need to see that you're real. I don't say deliberately punch somebody and then apologize and impress them with grace, but don't worry, you're going to mess up. But it's really how you handle when you're wrong that gives you a chance to demonstrate God's grace. That if people know that you're having problems with your kids, you're open about it. You don't pretend like your family is perfect, but you let them know what you do with that, where you go with it. You let them know that you take it to the Lord. Sometimes I'll ask non-Christians to pray for me. People that I know aren't Christians. I'm going through a tough time. I'll go, yeah, you know, I'm having a tough week. Could you pray for me? And they're like, yeah, I'll be thinking of you. You know, they don't really know what to say. But see, to me, that is a gracious opportunity. It doesn't look like, look at me, I'm better than you. It just says, look at me, I know about forgiveness. And I'm quick to ask for it. And I'm quick to extend it. I'm not a bitter and angry person. And that's the heart of Paul. Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. But at the same time, what he didn't want people to see in him was hypocrisy and phoniness, as he will say later if we make it through this chapter. So, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. Value the ministry enough to avoid giving people reasons to reject it. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. He said, in everything I do, I want to act commendably as a servant of God. I want people to see me and think, that's someone who wears ministry well. That's someone who, whatever it is their faith is, it looks good on them. It works for them. It's a commendable thing, even if they choose to reject it themselves. And then he begins to describe ministry so that you don't ever get an idea that, oh, ministry is just always a blessing, always pleasant. You know, it's just the kinds of impressions you get from the, you know, possibility thinkers and the name it and claim it kind of people and everything. And God bless them. I guess I'm thankful there are people like that, because if I'm getting up in the morning and moving really slow, I don't mind a few minutes of Joel Osteen or something just to get me pumped up. But, you know, it'd be like you'd get hypoglycemic if you had an overly huge diet of some of that kind of stuff. But Paul wasn't that. He wasn't like, oh, you're going to love this. This is great. He goes, I'm going to be really honest with you what ministry is like. He says, as ministers of God in much patience. Don't you hate to hear that right off the bat? If you're going to represent God, you better be patient. Patience is something none of us really want. But if we want it, we want it now. But he goes, this is going to take time. Some of the most important lessons of life will be learned while you're waiting. I was just visiting yesterday a woman who, she had had a car accident and her back was messed up, and so she ended up having to have major back surgery. And so went and visited her in the hospital yesterday, and she's just laying there and can't move, and it's just difficult. And I told her, I said, you think, man, being on your back and being, you know, knocked out like this and everything, that it would be so good because you could just lay there and commune with God. You can pray for people. You can meditate. God's going to speak to you in glorious ways. But I said, to be honest with you, whenever I'm laid up, that just doesn't happen. I just lay there. I can't hear from God. I have a hard time praying. I can't read. I just have to wait. And she goes, that's exactly how I feel, Dave. And I said, well, that's why they call you a patient. Because you are learning to wait. And that's all you have to do right now is just wait. And I told her at the same time, after you come through all of this, the lessons are going to be abundant. But while you're in the middle of it, not so much. It's just about being patient. And sometimes God puts us in a place where it seems like he's not doing anything in our lives, but he's teaching us one of the most important qualities that we could have, and that is patience. God just doesn't hurry because we're in a hurry. He just doesn't do that. And so often we'll be in a situation where God's saying, be patient. It's so important to learn patience when you're talking about ministry, because you want God to use you, and then you know someone who, ooh, I really want to share with them, and you just can't find the opening. So you start to force the opening. You know, they go, so did you watch the World Series last night? And you go, no, you know, because the Angels weren't in it. Speaking of angels, you know, we're... No, God wants us to minister in really natural ways. And a lot of times that's patience. That might mean just being nice to someone and friendly to them for a long period of time until God opens a door, until they say something. And God will, if you're praying for someone and praying for an opportunity to share with them, God's going to end up opening up a hole that a Mack truck could drive through eventually. It just works that way. But first, you have to be patient. You have to lay groundwork. You have to establish a track record. You have to show a lifestyle of concern and consistency. If you're witnessing at work, nobody's going to listen to you until at least you have gained their respect as a professional or as a worker in whatever it is that you're doing. It starts there, and that's the hard work, because that takes time. We just want to leapfrog past that, but no, it's laying the groundwork. And so patience always comes early on in the process, but we hate it. In much patience, and then he says, in tribulations. That word there means pressure. Ministry, some of the greatest opportunities for ministry will involve a lot of pressure. When the pressure is on, when there's a time crunch, when there's stress of one type or another, those are the times when ministry is the most welcomed sometimes. God may be using pressure to get someone ready to hear the message. And he also may be putting pressure on you to get you ready to be able to share the message. And many of you have recognized this, sometimes through your own trials, God prepares you to minister to someone else who's eventually going through a similar trial. So that, you know, as Paul says, that you can comfort others with the comfort with which you've been comforted. So I may be going through tribulation, I may be under pressure, and it may last for a long time, and I don't like being patient with that kind of pressure. But I know that if you've hung in there with God, you've had this happen where you thought you were going to lose it because you were losing your patience, and the pressure was about to crush you, and out of that came an amazing opportunity to be able to share with someone who they themselves were under pressure too, were going through tribulation, and were getting impatient. And God allows you to come along and say, let me tell you my story. And they listen to your story and they go, whoa, what I'm going through is nothing. And you can say, but I'm still here. And I'm coming through on the other end of that. And so that's preparation for ministry often involves tribulation or pressure. It comes with the territory. So if you can't learn to be patient under pressure, then you're probably going to miss some of the best opportunities to represent Christ in this ministry of reconciliation. And Paul definitely knew about pressure. And he said, in needs. You don't always have everything that you need. You will always eventually get what you need, and sometimes the hand of God in providing for your needs is the whole point. But until you need something, he can't provide for your need. And so the life of serving God and representing him is a life where again and again you'll be aware of your needs. And you'll have to be patient despite the needs that you have that you don't see how God is going to provide for them. And as you're patient, you'll see that he will. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, which are in Christ Jesus. But we all want to talk about how God supplies our needs. None of us wants to get to the point where we actually have needs that need to be supplied. But it's not supplying your needs if you already have more than you could ever need. You'll never know what it is to have your needs supplied. But boy, when your assets start drying up and you realize, I actually have real needs here, now you're opening the door to seeing what God's going to do. And it's a privilege to be needy for God and to see God meet that need, to not just go try to find somebody else to meet it, but to say, God, I'm just going to tell you about this, and I want to see how you come through. And he will. He always does. And afterwards, you'll look back and go, it was kind of cool having that need because I never needed God like I did when I felt like my back's against the wall. And so Paul understood that, and he knew it, and he goes, that comes with the territory. Don't think it's weird because you have needs. Needs are the doorway to miracles from God. In distresses, that word distresses means tight places. The walls are closing in on you. Literally, it means a narrow place. You're going through a rock canyon and it's getting closer and it's like, I don't know if I can fit through this. Paul said, that's the laboratory of ministry. God's going to have to make it tight sometimes in order to open a door for him to use you. In stripes, that is the scars that come, the beatings. In imprisonments, Paul knew about that. In tumults. Tumult is a word that means just confusing disorder. And, you know, think of like going to Walmart on a Saturday or going to Costco right before Christmas. It's just like the noise just drives you nuts. The busyness, the jostling, you can't even think straight because of all of the frenzy of activity. And Paul's saying sometimes ministry feels like that. You're running in every direction at once, and you're hearing so many different voices and so many different sounds, and everyone wants a piece of you, and you feel like you're just being torn apart by all the needs and by all the opportunities and by all the demands, and the tyranny of the urgent is just crushing you, and just this relentless, confusing noise that's in the back of your head. And he goes, yeah, it is that way. You're not imagining that. It's a part of it. In labors, literally that word in the Greek means beatings. It came to metaphorically mean working so hard that you're just beating yourself up or beating yourself to death. Paul may have meant it literally, but, you know, he had already said stripes, and that's why some people figure he must be meaning it in a more general sense to use it so quickly afterwards in the sentence. But life has a way of beating you up, sometimes literally, but a lot more times, you know, you go through stuff, and you feel like at the end of the day, like, I'm actually sore. I feel like I've been being hit. I'm feeling beat up. And Paul knew what that was like. And that didn't deter him from wanting to carry the message of the gospel. In sleeplessness, you bet, sometimes you just can't sleep because your mind is racing about everything that's going on and you can't find that place of peace that you want. In fastings, just either forced fasting because you don't have anything to eat, most of us could benefit from that, or deliberately being desperate enough to see God work that you choose to fast so that your prayers will be enhanced. The Bible teaches that as well.
Thanks for joining us today for The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolf. Hear this study from 2 Corinthians again at thebalancedword.com or give us a call and request a CD at 949-362-7475. That's 949-362-7475. Pastor Dave has taught through the entire Bible, and we put the entire series on a USB for you. It's our featured resource right now, available for a donation of $30 or more. You can request this special offer at thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. Here at The Balanced Word, everything revolves around the simple teaching of the Bible. Our mission is discovering balanced living through the Word of God. We're convinced that the Bible is God's Word to us, and living by the Word will give us the best life possible as we grow more healthy mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. Your donations help to make this possible, so thank you. You can make a contribution to the ministry at thebalancedword.com. And as you do, don't forget to ask for Dave's Through the Bible Study. Whether you live in the area or will be visiting soon, please know that you're always welcome to join us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Sunday morning services begin at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. You can also live stream those services at ccpacifichills.org. We want to pray for you, so please send in those prayer requests right there at our website at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Pastor Dave shares encouraging one-minute messages on Facebook and Instagram. It's a great way to start the day. Check it out at CC Pacific Hills. Or just log on to thebalancedword.com. Let's return to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now and see how to respond to life's trials and difficulties.
Then he kind of shifts gears in verse 6 and kind of talks about how he responds to these things. Because anyone can go through distressing, pressing, tribulation, tumult, beatings, and just be a victim. But Paul responded to it by purity. He allowed the trials in his life to actually purify him, to improve him, to cause him to grow. He saw that the time of need was an opportunity to get rid of things he didn't need. Often we think we need a lot more than we do. And God tightens things down a little bit, forcing us to tighten our belts. And ultimately, we find out it's actually a good thing. Oh no, I don't know if I can pay my cable bill this month. You know, that might purify things for you a little bit, simplify things. Just have to watch with an antenna. By knowledge. There are always things to learn, no matter what you're going through. And Paul's attitude was, if I'm going to be getting knocked around and beat up, I want to learn whatever I can from the experience. I want to apply what I know from Scripture to what I'm experiencing in my life. By long suffering, again, the idea of patience comes up, but macrothumia is the Greek word here. And it means just when you're overheating and breathing hard and passionate, thumia, but macro, long. You're like, yeah, the volume is increased and this is happening, but I'm going to have a long fuse. I'm not going to let this cause me to explode. I've been going through a very passionate time for quite a while, and I'm determined to see how long I can go. This is going to stretch me. This is going to help me to grow. By kindness. I don't care how hard of a time we're going through, being kind to others will always make it feel better. Getting it out off your chest by blowing up at somebody else only makes the hard times that you're going through feel like you just wasted them. You went through it for nothing. Anyone can go through a hard time and blow their stack. Not everyone can go through a trial and still be nice. And it's a huge accomplishment when someone can go through a difficult time and still be nice about it.
We'll pick up where we left off in 2 Corinthians next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play.